Our text for this morning is the Gospel reading from John chapter 10, verses 22 to 30. I'll read again beginning at verse 24. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe, because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." This is our text. Dear Christian friends, our text for this morning is not about politics, but this discussion of Jesus and those who are opposed to him is similar in some ways to, I think, political discussions we hear today. Because the issues are, how can you really know who a person is and what to expect from him? The questions Jesus is asked are like the questions asked of some politicians. Why can't we get a straight answer? Well, part of his reply is, it all depends. How's that for straight? For example, when a politician talks about economic equality, does that mean an economy in which everyone starts out with an equal opportunity to get ahead, or one in which everyone ends up with equal benefits? Or freedom of speech for everyone? Does that mean it includes corporations and they can spend as much as they want so that their voice is heard? Or does it mean that everyone, regardless of resources, should be heard equally? What about freedom from discrimination? Does that mean that you can't be forced to provide services or do things that conflict with your faith? Or that you have the right to expect certain services no matter what your sexual behavior? Well, the same is true of a host of other issues that are being debated. What do you mean by that? So in our text, the question about whether Jesus is the Christ depends partly on what you mean by Christ. But the other part of the question is what to expect. Again, as with politicians, the real answer is not just what people claim to be, but how they talk and what they do. One can give bold answers, but how they communicate, including by their actions, might tell a different story. So, the questions asked and answered about Jesus are about who he really is and what we can expect from him. And we too want to listen to the answer because we may wonder about who we can trust to deliver. We may wonder unless we listen to the shepherd, but our wonderful God is certain to save us. Let's think first about how we may wonder who we can trust to deliver us. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Now, you've heard me say before that I don't think the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the Bible to waste any words. So why did John bother to tell us that this happened during the Feast of Dedication in winter? St. Augustine commented that this shows that the hearts of these Jewish people are as cold as winter. I actually think it has more to do with the Feast of Dedication. Dedication of what? Was the Feast of Rededicating the Temple in Jerusalem. Solomon's Colonnade, which is where the rabbis walked and taught, was named after the most powerful king of Israel, King Solomon, the one who first built a glorious temple. And it was that temple, however, was destroyed and rebuilt more than once. The Feast of Dedication, you probably know better as Hanukkah, was a festival of lights, a celebration of God delivering the people of Israel from the Greeks. And the Greeks had desecrated the temple. They had polluted it to keep people from worshiping there, but they got their independence, and they restored it, they cleaned it up, and they relit the holy lamps, and God miraculously kept those lamps burning for many days. That's why they call it the Festival of Lights. So it's somewhat similar to another big festival, and that is the festival of Passover, in which they were delivered that time from the Egyptians. And when they came back to the promised land and they built the temple in the first place. But later that temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. But God delivered them from the Babylonians and they came back and they rebuilt the temple. Later on, they were delivered from total destruction of the nation by the Persians, and that led them to celebrate another festival, the festival of Purim. Well, now that they bought Purim, by the way, that is the time of year that we celebrated Easter this year. But now, the time that Jesus is talking, they're under the domination of another nation, that's the Romans. And so the question behind their question for Jesus, I think, is, will God now provide for us a new deliverer, a new Christ? Because the word Christ literally means an anointed one. It means the same as Messiah, the Hebrew word for anointed one. Kings were anointed. Prophets were anointed. Priests were anointed. God had provided an anointed one in the past. Now they needed a new king to throw out the enemy. They needed a new prophet to give direction and speak comfort. They needed a new priest to help them draw near to God. And many people were wondering, maybe Jesus is that Christ, that anointed one. But others rejected him because they said, nah, he's not the one that we expect. Well, today also, the season of winter, not maybe winters like the one we just had, but winter seasons in life raise difficult questions. Will the harsh conditions end? Will I make it through? Will spring come again? Or do I have to go on living in the dark and going by feelings without a confident sense of direction in my life? Will I feel again the warmth of God's love? Do I have a deliverer? We may feel like saying, like these Jews, why do I have to wait? Why do you lift our hopes? Give us a bold, plain answer. Their question is like asking Jesus, who do you think you are? What are you doing? In other words, their question is not a question that really expects an answer because their minds are already made up. It's a scornful question. Yet, they are like someone, maybe this has happened to you, someone standing in a store asking, can you show me where something is? And you know what? You're standing right there in front of them. And so Jesus does give them a bold answer. And he does make bold claims. And one of part of that is that we wander unless we listen to the shepherd. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So, is Jesus avoiding giving a straight answer to the question? Well, he is answering it. He's answering it in two ways. First, by clarifying what the Christ is, but also not just by making claims, but by showing it, doing the things that the Christ does. He is the Christ because he is the shepherd his sheep follow. Now, they knew that there were many sheep in Israel at that time and many shepherds. But each sheep knew and recognized its own shepherd's voice and would only follow that voice and that shepherd. The one who was, there were others, were maybe a shepherd, but they were not their shepherd. They were not the shepherd. And so Jesus is a king, not just another earthly king who controls by issuing orders and fighting with armies, but he is the king who does miracles by speaking his word, because what he says always happens, and who wins the ultimate battle with death itself by defeating Satan on the cross. Jesus is not just another prophet who tells us things we should do and predicts what's going to happen, but he is the prophet who predicts his own death and resurrection and himself fulfills everything that God has said we need to do and that he would do. And Jesus is not just another priest who in a long line of priests keeps on sacrificing over and over and over, but he is the final priest who by the sacrifice of himself finishes paying for all the sins in the whole world in full. So the question is not just whether he is a Christ, but if he is the Christ. That is, if he is our Christ, the one that we follow, the king that we trust in, the prophet we believe, the priest who reconciles us to God. So Jesus' straight answer is only understood by those who are going straight and not wandering off. In this world, people are constantly looking for whatever they can find and get for themselves. The people of this world don't want to listen to anyone. They want to do their own thing and make their own final decision. And so the people of this world aren't certain of anything, especially after death, or whether they're sure to get there if there is something. But the real question is not whether God has power to provide for us or whether what he says is true. That is beyond question. The question is whether we believe in Jesus. Then he is our Christ. It is Jesus himself who leads us to answer that question by what he himself says and what he himself does. He is the shepherd who calls us to believe in him through his powerful word. He calls us by name in our baptisms. And being called by his name makes us part of his family. And he continues to feed us with the Lord's Supper in order to strengthen that faith. He says to us by his words and his actions, I am your Christ. I am your shepherd. Follow me because our wonderful God is certain to save us. He goes on to say, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. When our shepherd says, listen to my voice, follow me, he's like a parent saying to a child before crossing a dangerous street, take my hand. So the child does. But what if the child gets a little afraid and lets go? Well, it's not just the child's little hand holding on to the parent's. It's the parent's big hand wrapped around that child's hand and still holds on that keeps him safe. Jesus is saying, we can be confident that he will continue to hold on to us. Now, one could deliberately jerk their hand away, that is, to reject faith, but we need not fear what might happen to us. Jesus promises life that will never perish us. And so we hear this reading during the Easter season because his resurrection is a sign that that is true. He can do this for us because he is still alive. And he can say this because he is God. He is one with the Father. Both Jesus and God the Father are one in mind toward us. And so they hold us with both hands, guaranteeing both physical and spiritual life. In our first reading, when Paul says goodbye to the elders of Ephesus, he knows that fierce wolves are going to come and attack the flock. There's going to be false teachers, deceptive temptations of the devil that would tend to make us stumble. And then the devil turns right around with accusations, trying to make us doubt God's love for us and our salvation. But Paul confidently commends them to God. And when he calls the word of his grace, that is his promise to forgive and to restore us, we too can trust God to preserve our spiritual life through the word of his grace. That's what holds on to us. Meanwhile, Paul also knows that he faces physical attack and death. But he's still confident, knowing he's in God's hands. God can preserve his physical life, which in fact God does at that time. Our lives are in God's hands too. God takes care of us. He who is greater than all can always help us. But what about when this life does come to an end? When Jesus says eternal life, he means eternal. Our second reading gives us a picture of those Jesus has finally delivered from every trouble and restored to physical life. The Good Shepherd guides his flock from all nations all the way to heaven and springs of living water where finally we are delivered from all evil. This is Jesus' bold answer so we can have hope and we can have certainty. We may wonder who we can trust to live to deliver. Jesus shows by his words and his deeds that he is the Christ. He is our Christ. We wander unless we listen to our shepherd. But Jesus knows us, and he calls us by name to follow him. And our wonderful God is certain to save us, giving and preserving physical and spiritual and eternal life. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.